Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. It's Thursday, the 24th of February. Good to have you with us. I am your squirrel, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. It's Theology Thursday, so today we are going to be in Chapter 3, Paragraph 5 of the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. After our scripture reading, Squirrel Chatter is a podcast that is dedicated primarily to the public reading of scripture. And I got to tell you, sometimes it's real tough to just read the scripture because I want to stop and start preaching. But that's not our purpose here. Our purpose here is just to read the scriptures. We're reading through the entire Bible in the Legacy Standard Bible translation. We are coming to the end of week 8, so we will have gone through 8 weeks, almost 2 full months of scripture reading here when we finish up tomorrow. And then over the weekend, I got to get busy pre-recording all of the scripture readings for the 15 days that I'm going to be gone to Shepherd's Conference. I'm going down there for that long because I drive down, not because I'm afraid of flying. I actually love flying. It's the TSA I don't like. And I have only flown on 2 or 3 occasions since the TSA and everything was put into effect, just because I find it really annoying. So I tend to drive. I enjoy driving. Used to be a truck driver. Get me out on the road. I'll be listening to podcasts and sermons and audiobooks as I make my way down to Southern California. It is a 17-hour drive from here to Sun Valley, actually Santa Clarita, which is where I'll be staying. And I break that up into 2 days. So I'll get somewhere in the middle of Utah on my way down, and then the next day I'll swing into LA. And then I'm going to be hanging out with friends for that entire week with the weekends on both ends. I've got friends I haven't seen in a while that I'm looking forward to getting together with. Last year they didn't have a Shepherd's Conference, so I didn't get to go. I was all set to go, and because of the COVID thing and the legal situation that Grace Church was in at the time, fighting Governor Newsom's horrible shutdown orders, which the church did prevail, but their lawyers recommended they not hold the Shepherd's Conference in the midst of this struggle with the courts. So Shepherd's Conference got canceled. The year before that, which was the Shepherd's Conference right before the COVID stuff all hit down in 2020, I was off driving truck, so I didn't get a chance to go. I just couldn't get the time off to go. I actually looked at having, if my trucking company could get me a load to Southern California and then give me a few days off while I was down there. But it just wasn't going to work out. Too many things to take into account. So I didn't get to go in 2020. 2021 was canceled. So after a good solid decade of not missing a Shepherd's Conference, I missed two. And of course, everybody missed last year, so I guess I shouldn't count that one. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to getting down there and seeing people and having fun. And I'm also looking forward, as it's sub-zero temperatures here again this morning in the Piney Woods, I'm kind of looking forward to getting down and enjoying a little bit of that Southern California sunshine, because even a cold day in Southern California is warmer than a winter here in the Piney Woods. So one nice thing about the Shepherd's Conference is I always leave winter up here and I come back to spring. Because the week and a half, 2 weeks I'm gone is enough to shift the weather from winter to spring up here in the Piney Woods. And so friends and family that are staying here get upset at my pictures of palm trees and everything. But hey, that's life. So in honor of my upcoming trip to Southern California, I am wearing an In-N-Out t-shirt this morning and looking forward to dining on an In-N-Out burger. That's usually the Thursday lunch at Shepherd's Conference. They fill the parking lot with those big In-N-Out fifth wheel kitchens, probably about a half a dozen of them or more, and they serve In-N-Out burgers to about 5,000-6,000 people, so or more. I don't have a count because they feed the all the attendees and also all the volunteers that are down there working. And yeah, if you've never been to a Shepherd's Conference at Grace Community Church, and you are a pastor or an elder in your church or a deacon, Sunday school teacher, you have missed out on one of the biggest blessings that God has given to pastors, is that conference and just the way that they treat us when we're down there. The Grace Church, they have over 1,000 volunteers during the week of Shepherd's Conference, just members of the church who give up their own time. They take vacation time, whatever, so that they can serve the pastors who attend. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. I mean, people talk about, it's a couple hundred, I think it's like $300-something dollars to attend the conference, but you get that back in free books. And then the food and everything that they give you, there's and just the way you're treated, it's hardly anything to consider. They used to do it free. And the reason they started charging for it, as I understand it, was because people would register and not show up. And so they decided, well, let's, you know, make people have skin in the game so that they don't register and then not show up unless they just can't make it for some reason. So they instituted a fee to attend, but that fee in no way covers the cost of the conference. I'm sure it helps. I mean, there's no doubt it helps. You know, $300 by 5,000 pastors is a lot of money, but it's not. It doesn't cover the cost of the conference, I assure you. It is quite an endeavor that Grace Church does every year for the Shepherd's Conference, and I'm really looking forward to getting down there. It's going to be a good time. All right, Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. I encourage you to head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. I said yesterday that I had seen that Ecky and Nathaniel had posted a new episode of the Truth Be Known podcast, and I didn't know what the topic was yesterday. Well, it turns out their topic is Calvinism and Arminianism Part 1. And I listened to it yesterday, and it's a barn burner. Put that one on your to be listened to list. You will enjoy it. Or you will be greatly angered by it, depending on your theological position. But they're doing a good job. I love that podcast. It's one of the regulars that I listen to, weekly. They are a weekly podcast, and I appreciate their efforts. They go into great depth. It's about a two-hour podcast, and it's part one. So you can imagine what more is coming. All right, well, as I said, today is Theology Thursday. We're going to be in Chapter 3, Paragraph 5 of the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith after we do our scripture reading. And our scriptures today are Leviticus 19 and 20 and Hebrews 7. So let us begin with our prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. And a sip of coffee or two. Good stuff. Like I said, I'm rapidly running out of the Trailblazer blend from Montana Coffee Traders, and I have enjoyed the 3 pounds or 5 pounds that I bought back before Christmas. It's been good coffee, and I appreciate it greatly. Coffee around here is a special thing. Mrs. Squirrel does not drink coffee, so when I make a pot of coffee, it's my pot of coffee. And I drink a pot of coffee every day, and then I switch to water. I very rarely have a pop or a soda. If you're a soda pop, depending on what part of the country you're in, very rarely do I drink a pop. It's mostly, for me, coffee and water. So I get my coffee in the morning, then I switch to water, and that gets me through the day. All right, let us pray. First, our prayer of confession. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now our prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Leviticus chapter 19. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, Yahweh your God, am holy. Every one of you shall fear his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am Yahweh your God. Do not turn to idols or make for yourselves molten gods. I am Yahweh your God. Now when you offer a sacrifice of peace offering to Yahweh, you shall offer it so that you may be accepted. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it and the next day. But what remains until the third day shall be burned with fire. So if it is eaten at all on the third day, it is an offense. It will not be accepted. And everyone who eats it will bear his iniquity, for he has profaned the holy thing of Yahweh. And that person shall be cut off from his people. Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to every corner, to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the afflicted and for the sojourner. I am Yahweh your God. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. You shall not swear falsely by my name, so as to profane the name of God of your God. I am Yahweh. You shall not oppress your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of a hired man shall not remain with you overnight until morning. You shall not curse a deaf man nor place a stumbling block before the blind. But you shall fear your God. I am Yahweh. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor defer to the great, but you shall judge your neighbor in righteousness. You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand against the life of your neighbor. I am Yahweh. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, and so not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance, and you shall not keep your anger against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. You are to keep my statutes. You shall not breed together two kinds of your cattle. You shall not sow your field with two kinds of seed, nor wear a garment upon you of two kinds of material mixed together. Now if a man lies sexually with a woman who is a slave assigned to another man, but who has in no way been redeemed nor given her freedom, there shall be punishment. They shall not, however, be put to death because she was not free. And he shall bring his guilt offering to Yahweh to the door of the tent of meeting, a ram for a guilt offering. The priest shall also make atonement for him with the ram of the guilt offering before Yahweh for his sin which he has committed, and the sin which he has committed will be forgiven him. When you enter the land and plant all kinds of trees for food, then you shall designate their fruit as forbidden. 3 years it shall be forbidden to you. It shall not be eaten. But in the fourth year all its fruit shall be holy, an offering of praise to Yahweh. Now in the fifth year you shall eat of its fruit, that its produce may increase for you. I am Yahweh your God. You shall not eat anything with the blood, nor interpret omens or soothsaying. You shall not round off the side growth of your heads, nor harm the edges of your beard. You shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead, nor make any tattoo marks on yourself. I am Yahweh. Do not profane your daughter by making her a harlot, so that the land will not fall to harlotry, and the land become full of lewdness. You shall keep my Sabbaths and fear my sanctuary. I am Yahweh. Do not turn to mediums or spiritists. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am Yahweh your God. You shall rise up before the gray-haired and honor the aged, and you shall fear God. Fear your God. I am Yahweh. And when a sojourner sojourns with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The sojourner who sojourns with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh your God. You shall do no wrong in judgment, in measurement of weight or in volume. You shall have just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin. I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt. You shall thus keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am Yahweh. Chapter 20. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, You shall also say to the sons of Israel, Any man from the sons of Israel or from sojourners sojourning in Israel who gives any of his seed to Molech shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will also set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given some of those who are his seed to Molech, so as to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. If the people of the land, however, should ever turn a blind eye to that man when he gives any of those who are his seed to Molech, so as not to put him to death, then I myself will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut off from among their people both him and all those who play the harlot after him, in playing the harlot after Molech. As for the person who turns to mediums and to spiritists to play the harlot after them, I will also set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people. Therefore you shall set yourselves apart as holy, and be holy, for I am Yahweh your God. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am Yahweh who makes you holy. If there is anyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood guiltiness is upon him. If there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, one who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. If there is a man who lies with his father's wife, he has uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there is a man who lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed perversion. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there is a man who lies with a male as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there is a man who marries a woman and her mother, it is lewdness. Both he and they shall be burned with fire, so that there will be no lewdness in your midst. If there is a man who lies with an animal, he shall surely be put to death. You shall also kill the animal. If there is a woman who approaches any animal to mate with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there is a man who takes his sister, his father's daughter or his mother's daughter, so that he sees her nakedness and she sees his nakedness, it is a disgrace. And they shall be cut off in the sight of the sons of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness. He bears his guilt. If there is a man who lies with a minstress woman and uncovers her nakedness, he has laid bare her flow, and she has uncovered the flow of her blood. Thus both of them shall be cut off from among their people. You shall also not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister or of your father's sister, for such a one has made naked his blood relative. They will bear their guilt. If there is a man who lies with his aunt, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They will bear their sin. They will die childless. If there is a man who takes his brother's wife, it is an impure act. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They will be childless. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, so that the land to which I am bringing you to inhabit will not vomit you out. Moreover, you shall not walk in the statutes of the nation which I will cast out before you, for they did all these things, and therefore I have loathed them. Hence I have said to you, you yourselves shall possess their land, and I myself will give it to you to possess it, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am Yahweh your God, who has separated you from the peoples. You are therefore to separate between the clean animal and the unclean, and between the unclean bird and the clean. And you shall not make yourselves detestable by animal or by bird or by anything that creeps on the ground, which I have separated for you as unclean. Thus you shall be holy to me, for I, Yahweh, am holy, and I have separated you from the peoples to be mine. Now a man or a woman who is a medium or a spiritist shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom Abraham apportioned a tenth part of all, was first of all, by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, which is King of Peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest continually. Now observe how great this man was to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the spoils, and those indeed of the sons of Levi, who received the priest's office, having a commandment in the law to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their brothers. Although these are descended from Abraham, but the one whose genealogy is not traced from them had collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed the one who had the promises. But without any dispute, the lesser is blessed by the greater. And in this case, mortal men receive tithes, but in that case one receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives on. And, so to speak, through Abraham even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Now if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not be designated according to the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, of necessity there takes a place a change of law also. For the one concerning whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no one has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning priests. And this is clearer still if another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become such not according to the law of physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed about him, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is a setting aside of a former commandment because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. And on the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope, through which we draw near to God. And inasmuch as not without, as much as it was not without an oath, for they indeed became priests without an oath, but he with an oath through the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a priest forever." So much more Jesus also has become the guarantee of a better covenant. And the former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. Because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. This is the word of the Lord. Now the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the collect for grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At this point, I would normally do my intentionally humorous communiques to those in the resistance behind enemy lines in occupied Canada. But with the invasion of the Ukraine last night, or yesterday afternoon, my time, at least that's when I start seeing the news about it. And the violence that is now going on there, I just didn't feel like joking about it. Now, I'm going to be talking about Ukraine in some depth tomorrow, but I wanted to, at this time, offer up a prayer for peace. This is from the 2019 Anglican Church in North America prayer book, Book of Common Prayer, which is, I still have the UPC sticker on the back, which I believe is an excellent prayer book, but they have a prayer for the peace of the world. Almighty God, from whom all thoughts of truth and peace proceed, kindle, we pray, in the hearts of all people, the true love of peace, and guide with your pure and peaceable wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth, that in tranquility your kingdom may go forward till the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I have friends and acquaintances in Ukraine, not close friends, but people that I've met and people that I've prayed for. The Master's Academy International has a training center in Ukraine, and TMAI is something that I have supported for many years. And so I'm praying for their safety. I'm praying for peace. At this point, looking at the events, I'm thinking that peace is going to come when the conquest of Ukraine by Russia is completed. I don't see anything stopping the Russians from completing their conquest of the Ukraine. The weakness of the Western democracies and the Western alliance is being fully demonstrated. And we are not willing to fulfill our promises to defend Ukraine against this invasion. My fear is that the weapons and aid that we have given to Ukraine will simply prolong the fighting and lead to more loss of life. So pray for the people of Ukraine. Pray for the peace of the world. Pray that this does not escalate beyond the borders of Ukraine. Ukraine borders on NATO member nations like Poland. And so if it spread into Poland, that would, without a doubt, kick in the NATO alliance's agreement that an invasion of one NATO member is an invasion of all NATO members, and that every member would respond accordingly. So in a legal sense, if Russia invaded Poland, that would be exactly the same as if Russia invaded Alaska or Kansas in the minds, at least according to our treaty obligations. And so I just pray that I remember how World War I started. There were all these alliances across Europe that were triggered when Austria-Hungary invaded Serbia after the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand in Sarajevo. I don't want to see history repeat. It's been a long time. I mean, as much as we look at the wars that we have fought since World War II, and they have been bloody and they have been awful. Korea, Vietnam, the first Gulf War, the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq. As much as these things have been horribly bloody conflicts, the fact of the matter remains that there has not been a conflict, a large-scale conflict, since the end of World War II. And were one to take place, it would not be pleasant. And so we pray for peace. We pray for rationality to be extended into the minds of the leaders of these nations. And we look upon this with grief. No one should rejoice when conflict takes place, armed conflict. And, I mean, no one should rejoice when armed conflict takes place between two individuals. And we certainly shouldn't rejoice when armed conflict takes place between nations, especially when it is the aggression of one nation to take from another nation. As I remember reading Tom Clancy years ago talking about, he said that wars of aggression are just armed robbery writ large, meaning that morally, walking into a bank with a gun and taking money is on the same moral level with marching your troops into a country and taking real estate. It's armed robbery. It's acquiring wealth by force. And that's what we're seeing take place. And it's difficult to think about what would we do to stop it. Russia is a nuclear power. Do we want an atomic war over this? Of course not. But at the same time, you know, the economic sanctions that the West is imposing and the further economic sanctions that the West is proposing are not a deterrent to Vladimir Putin. He's willing to pay that price to gain Ukraine. Remember, Ukraine was the breadbasket of the Soviet Union. This is a farmland. It's a huge, I'm getting into stuff that I'm going to talk about tomorrow. It's a huge asset for Russia. And they have desired it ever since the Soviet Union broke apart. And Russia is now friendly with China. After decades, during the height of the Cold War, Russia and China didn't get along. They were not friendly with each other. But now, you know, enemy of my enemy is my friend. With Russia standing against the United States and the West, and China standing against the United States and the West, China and Russia have kind of gone, maybe we should be friends. And when you consider the fact that China has, right now, the largest economy in the world, they have surpassed the United States as the world's economic powerhouse, which gives them all sorts of leverage. And if they're friends with Russia, and if Russia is able to trade with China, and China will be willing to buy the Russian oil and stuff that Europe is now embargoing, Russia may not be hurt all that terribly economically. Now, think about that. If we can't hurt Russia economically, we can't punish them for taking Ukraine economically. So what does that leave? So pray for peace. Pray for the people of Ukraine. Pray for the people of Russia. You know, just as God sets people on thrones and God removes people from thrones. And so we can know that God can settle this in any way he chooses. We also know that God hath decreed whatsoever comes to pass. So this is part of God's decree that these events would be taking place, and he has a purpose in them. There's a reason why they're happening, even though we don't know what that reason is. And so these are things to consider as we continue to pray for Ukraine and pray for Eastern Europe and pray for the November elections. We need to get some strength back into Washington. There really is a reason why none of this took place during the Trump administration. During the Obama administration, Russia seized the Crimean Peninsula. And now during the Biden administration, Russia is seizing the rest of the Ukraine, because right now we have weak leadership. And what is the answer? Prayer. I don't know. I don't have a solution. I don't have an easy solution. I can't say this is how we fix this, because I don't know. Do we go in militarily? Do we defend You know, we made promises to Ukraine to defend them 30 years ago. And to get them to give up their nuclear weapons, we promised to defend them. How much is our word worth? You know, a lot of people are saying this is Europe's problem, it's not our problem. And I understand that point of view. But at the same time, we made promises. Also, the world is awful smaller than it used to be. Back in the days of sailing ships, or even steamships, you know, Ukraine was weeks away. Nowadays, you know, you could hop on a plane this morning and be there tonight. And not only can people move that quickly, so can weapons. So the world is a lot smaller than it used to be because there is no place on this planet that is more than a day away. And that's a sobering thought. So what happens on the other side of the world does have consequences here. And hostility with a technologically advanced nation. Now, you know, no, Russia has never been, you know, they've never been a huge technology powerhouse, but they do have some fairly sophisticated weapons of war. They have weapons that could reach the continental United States quite easily. And that's apart from the intercontinental ballistic missiles, which they have. So we have, you know, we are under threat. And seeing a nuclear-armed aggressor state stepping up their hostility is a cause for unease. As I saw one commentator yesterday said, welcome to Cold War II. That this might have been the opening shots of a new Cold War that will be every bit as tense and hostile as the one that existed from the end of World War II until the 1990s. So, yeah, perhaps we need another Ronald Reagan to win the Cold War. I miss those days when it felt like we had won. I really do. All right, well, I've gone a long time talking about this, so I'm going to hold off on Theology Thursday until tomorrow, and I'm going to push my in-depth discussion of the Ukraine situation, because I just barely scratched the surface today. I'm going to push that till Monday. Let me put together a few more things to talk about in that regard. But basically today, I just wanted to pray for the situation in the Ukraine. Pray for peace. Pray for the Ukrainian people. Pray for the soldiers involved on both sides. I mean, there are frontline Russian soldiers who are, you know, doing their duty to their nation. They don't make the decisions of where to go as a soldier. And perhaps they believe the propaganda that their government has been putting out about how this is justified. So, you know, perhaps as long as they're not committing gross atrocities and war crimes, invading another country isn't a war crime. Going to war is not a war crime. War crimes are the reserved truly for the despicable acts committed during a war, such as the Nazi death camps, etc. Those are war crimes. Lining up a group of unarmed prisoners in front of a trench and shooting them in the back of the head is a war crime without trial. You know, if someone is, you know, guilty of war crimes and is then executed or something, that's a different thing. But just the wholesale slaughter of civilians, the wholesale slaughter of non-combatants, whether they were, you know, captured soldiers or whatever. That those are all war crimes. The use of, you know, chemical weapons and biological weapons would be war crimes. But invading another country is not a war crime. Going to war is not a war crime. Now, it's immoral, but, you know, war crime has a specific definition. And so we're not seeing, you know, we pray that, that there would be no war crimes. We pray that, that, you know, the Russian soldiers would acquit themselves honorably. That, you know, and we pray the same for the Ukrainian soldiers, that in their anger and in their distress, that they would not resort to war crimes, but that they would remain honorable. So pray for the peace of the world. Pray for peace in Ukraine. Pray for the Ukrainian people. Pray for the Christians in Ukraine. Like I said, I know people over there. I none of them close. I have friends who have close friends in Ukraine. And they are quite concerned about their friends, and I understand that. And so I'm praying for some specific individuals, those who are acquainted with me and those who are friends of mine. Excuse me. I know of some missionaries who have left the country and are in Romania or Poland at the moment. And I pray for their safety. And certainly they have friends inside Ukraine. So this is awful. This is a sad situation. The terror of war has descended upon a nation. And we just pray for peace. So that's kind of where I am right now. I kind of am a little bit depressed over the whole thing. I'm not a warmonger by any means. I do believe in a strong military. But at the same time, I'm not, you know, I believe in a strong military in order to avoid a fight, not to get into one. So, you know, a strong military deters an attack. And this is one of the things that has, that I've been saying for years, looking at Europe. After World War II, Europe, by and large, gave the majority, there was, or I guess I'd say they didn't give it. America assumed, with the willing acquiescence of Western Europe, the burden of defending Western Europe. And the nations of Western Europe, by and large, allowed America to assume their defense. And they have not been prepared themselves for war as much as they've been prepared to help the Americans defend them if they came under attack. And, you know, we've had American troops in Europe since the end of World War II, and sometimes in great numbers. And there have been huge drawdowns since the end of the Cold War. But with those drawdowns, the European nations have not stepped up to increase their own defense. I think of Great Britain, which is the nation in Europe, it's not technically European, it's an island. The nation that I'm most familiar with over there is the UK. And when you look at the beginning of World War II, less than 100 years ago, the United Kingdom had the most powerful navy on earth. And you fast forward to today, and I think they have one active carrier, and destroyers and frigates. No cruisers, nobody has any battleships anymore. But they used to have the most powerful navy in the world, and now they hardly have a navy. They have a trumped-up Coast Guard, kinda. They couldn't fight the Falklands War today, which they did when I was in high school. They wouldn't have the ability to project power that far across the globe. The long-range Vulcan bombers that flew 22-hour missions to overfly the Falklands, they would not be able... They don't have long-range bombers like that. Like I said, I think they have one carrier. So the military, and that's an example of what all the militaries in Europe have done. They have really abrogated their responsibility to defend their lands. And it is a responsibility. That is one of government's, that is government's God-given responsibility, is to punish the evildoer and to defend its people. And they have failed in that. And because of the weakness of these Western nations, people like Putin, who look to expand, know that they will be able to invade another country with little or no consequences on the large scale. Certainly, Russian troops are going to get killed. Ukraine is not without arms. They're going to shoot back. I read an article just this morning that the Ukrainian government is now issuing weapons and ammunition to civilians. And they're putting out the word, if you want to fight to defend Ukraine, come get a gun. So we're going to see, I'm afraid, weeks and months of guerrilla war in the streets. It's ugly now, and it's going to get uglier, one way or another. And I fear that, perhaps some of those atrocities that we have labeled war crimes might be committed, and that causes me great concern. In the midst of all of this, pray for the gospel to be proclaimed. Pray for faith and repentance to fall upon those on both sides of this conflict. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us. All right, folks. Sorry for such a downer today. Please remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. Do everything you do for the glory of the Lord. And we'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Scroll Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.